Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 473. My name is John Morgan. Cold Coffee is with me as always, and back by popular demand, he extended his stay. It was so in demand that Abbie Subban was on the MMA Roadshow again that he put his foot down.
That's it.
He put the word into MMA Junkie and said, I'm not going back yet. I got one more episode I got to do.
That's it. We read the comments. We read the folks. The folks demanded, and we replied. Here it is.
Most of it was like, Abbie who?
Subban? No, obviously you were staying anyway. You guys have been working on the top secret, not so top secret project.
I think we let it all talk about it last week.
Yeah, you guys are working on a pilot, so to speak, of a new potential series and spending some time doing some stuff around town. So it worked out. You got to spend a little extra time in Las Vegas and hit Extreme Couture in the gym a little bit, and yeah, couple extra days. How are you enjoying the extra time so far?
It's been good times. Chilling with Kenny, chilling with you. Obviously, yep. We had a couple of good, we had to catch up and stuff, and yeah, just being in Vegas is a unique experience, and I'm just happy to be here.
Tell me I wasn't right about April being the best month to be here, though, man. Gorgeous weather every day.
When you've always said that April and October, and when I saw UFC 300 was going to be in April, I just got to experience it. And to be honest, yeah, it's every time I've come here, it's been like mid-July or something
brutal,
like that.
Right?
I just can't breathe.
Especially coming from England, it's like, dude, you're not built for that.
What is this? how do people live out here? You know what I mean? But yeah, it's nice. T-shirt weather and
can't be. It's my favorite time of the year, man. It's like as we come over here to the palatial Casa de Cold Coffee. I notice the staff has the doors open.
Yes. I'm waiting for the other staff to finally show up and start taking care of the landscaping. So we'll have to shut the door when that happens. I think they're on the back nine or something, way out there, slowly working their way.
Didn't even tell me about the golf course you built out here.
You know, when you have so much land, you forget what's on the property.
And the maid. Margaret, was it?
Yeah.
She came in and washed my back today.
She's good like that. Don't ruin her yet.
Oh, that's great.
You like that? She said, and I said, yeah, I love it. And she was like, oh, I can go deeper. Kenny
Whoa,
likes
hey,
it.
Hey.
Yeah, I was like, no. I'm good.
It's not that kind of show, guys. It's not that kind of show.
Well, it is now.
Oh,
you
man.
Can catch more on Patreon.com.
We get wild over there. Oh man. Well, you mentioned UFC 300. You know what? I can't imagine the UFC like really went out of their way to make sure that there was a week off after UFC 300, but I do like the week off after big pay-per-view events, right? Because normally, man, we just go right back into the next fight week. It's hard, especially, you go back to an Apex show and, we know the energy level's different. The card's built entirely different. So it's kind of like, how do I get back going again? What I mean? So to have a little week off to continue reflecting, but I feel like UFC 300 especially need a little extra week to just kind of,
just to take that in. I mean, I'm happy for the extra week, for the week off after, like, because just to absorb what we actually experienced on that card.
That's what I want to ask you guys, because obviously, I mean, at this point, dude, we could literally just sit here and still talk about Max Holloway again. I mean, it was that amazing of a performance, that legendary of a moment. I just saw video on his account that a buddy of his posted or whatever, and it was like showing his girl going crazy, but then on the clip too, like Chuck Liddell's in there just going like nuts, like, oh my God. I mean, it's everybody's still talking about it, and he's as popular as ever, he's got as many options as ever. But I wanted to ask you guys, outside of the three title fights, okay, so we know we got the main event, we've talked about that, Alex Pereira, obviously a gangster win, the brushing aside of Herb Dean and then delivering the big knockout, got Zhang Weili. A more interesting than I thought fight than I think any of us were expecting with Yan Xianan. Maybe some controversy, but it didn't ultimately affect who won the fight with the is it a submission, is it not a submission, was she out? Didn't change it. It would have been very interesting had Yan Xianan rallied back and won that fight. Then you'd have some real controversy, and then you'd have to start talking honestly about her for $300,000. If she had been choked unconscious and came back and won the fight, I mean, have to be like, you got to give that girl $300,000. But it didn't happen that way. And, of course, the thing that everybody's talking about is Max Holloway and the insane finish with Justin Gaethje. But I want to ask you, we'll start with you, Abbie, what stood out to you on the night? If somebody was to ask you, tell me your biggest takeaway, whether it would be something you guys heard in an interview backstage that really resonated with you, whether it was a fight, a performance, an on-the-microphone thing, what was the biggest, your big moment outside of those three title fights from UFC 300?
I like the Jiří Procházka fight.
Yeah.
for me, I've got friends from the Czech Republic, and like MMA, when we went over there for Prague back in the day, before COVID,
right?
It wasn't sold out. It felt like the temperature for MMA was not what it is now because of this guy. I have them hit me up on a regular basis asking me when's his next fight.
Yeah.
Who, like, you know, they love this guy. They love this guy. So when I found out I was coming for UFC 300, and I told my guy, he was like, oh, can he do it? Yeah. I was like, well, he's fighting a guy that's coming back off injury, and Rakic is no joke.
Bro, I tell you what, man, early on, because I picked Jiří in that fight because I thought the same thing. Rakic is coming back. I'm like, you know, Rakic is no joke. He's very solid. Like, he's very kind of fundamental in what he does. But you got Jiří, who's like the crazy wild man, crazy knockout. And I thought Jiří was going to and then I'm watching that fight, and I'm like, oh, I picked this thing wrong. Alexander Rakic was rocking him, man. The leg kicks were nasty. He was popping his head back. But Jiří, dude, to his credit, that dude is crazy. He's literally just, like, smiling and staying right in his face, changing levels, trying it.
I was in at his fight in Singapore versus Teixeira, and I was just like, his head was popping back and forth, and I think the thing on top of his head as well just makes it worse. Yeah, it makes it worse. But I was like, this guy leads with his chin. I don't know how long it's sustainable, but I'm here for it now. You know, for now, I'm down.
As long as it lasts.
Yeah.
I pick Rakic. I thought I made the genius move. I was like, pfft. Easy. What a good pick. I was like, everybody picked Jiří, and then by the end of it, you're like, all right, that was stupid.
What did you guys do for staff picks at Junkie? Did y'all do the whole card or just the main card like normal?
Just the main card.
That was one.
We still had our picks, but so you know what they did, but the only ones that matter for the actual site or the record.
Behind the scenes at Junkie, what we used to always do is, and it sounds like you guys still do, is pick the whole card just so that if there's any last-minute replacements – and you want to put out a staff pick, so you're not scrambling. Like, hey, brother, who do you got? Who do you want? So it's just you have it there.
When you went to Prague, did you go to Big Sister?
No. I just remember.
People don't know Big Sister. Big Sister was a free brothel that you could go to.
A free brothel?
Yeah, you would go, but they videotaped you. So you were actually filmed there. So it's like you could go and like have an hour with like these prostitutes or whatever, or these, you know, whatever you call
women
them.
Of the night.
Women of the night, entertainment, paid entertainers.
Okay, no,
and it was free,
time.
But it was called Big Sister. Big Sister. It was funny because when I did after I graduated,
it's still there. Or was it?
No, it's gone now.
Okay, I'm like,
it's gone now.
Can we
but
go
I'm
now?
Sure
like,
plenty, I'm sure there's plenty of brothels now. Because I remember when I graduated from Ohio State, I went to go stay with some friends over there, and they're like, "We got to take you to this Big Sister place." I was like, "No."
Oh, you didn't go?
Maybe.
No, my ass.
But every time somebody says Prague, I was like, I know
mom,
y'all went
go.
To the,
everybody
I know
else,
y'all
yes,
went
I did.
To some of the brothels. I love Prague. Prague is probably good food. The women are beautiful, and like the culture
says the
is very, very
super
open.
Beautiful, right?
It's very, it's like everything's old, like very old looking and stuff. And as you're walking through, you can see some of the buildings that were from when the bombings had happened, some that survived and stuff. And they have a bunch of like monuments and things up to that, to like for the fall of communism and stuff. Like, so Prague was like a big like turning point and stuff. But Prague's beautiful. But every time I hear Prague,
and
I think about
Big Sister. I'm just gonna say, the people of Prague, if you want more people to come experience that history,
bring
free brothels
back
would
Sister.
Help. I'm just saying, like, I think people would go travel for
it,
that.
It is a very popular stag destination in Europe as
is
well.
It?
Yeah,
100%. I mean, they're all about it. They don't care. Like, they're just like, you know, it's like a business transaction. They understand. They're like, I like sex. You like sex. You know, I have bills. You want to help me with my bills? Like, here you go. Blah 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 blah.
No goddamn.
There's
like
no hate
that.
There. There's no stigma there. It is. Whatever.
I tell you, like, the UFC is picking up steam over there because of Jiří, but still, it's Octagon MMA.
Yeah.
They're selling out, like, there's a stadium show coming up, and
it's incredible, right?
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing big things. All right, so that was a standout performance for you. Let me ask you, do you think that should be enough to get a rematch with Alex Pereira for Jiří for the title? Or, because you still got Magomed Ankalaev out there, too, and that's, you know, he had the weird draw with the light heavyweight title. He hasn't had the loss. It's the fresh matter. I'm torn on this one, right? Because I'm torn on what the right decision here is. Because to me, I mean, we always got to look at it from two different perspectives, right? On the one hand, there's the, you know, meritocracy, like who deserves the shot. But then we really know this is about selling pay-per-views and putting butts in seats. Yeah. And so, you know, I guess a lot of it would probably depend on, see, here's what I really think. Here's what I think the right call is. Magomed Ankalaev versus Alex Pereira in Abu Dhabi.
Ooh.
In October, you know what I mean? Because they love Ankalaev, they love the Muslim population over there. You got it's close to Russia. that would mean, you know, Alex has to be the one to travel, but I don't think he cares. I've never heard him say anything about, like, I, you know what I mean? Like,
especially
he's fought all over the world.
Especially if they gave him the opportunity, like, hey, you want to moonlight up in the heavyweight, promise to do this one, and we'll give you a heavyweight bout regardless of the outcome.
There you go.
You know, like, we'll do you a solid, sweeten the pot.
Or they let him do heavyweight straight away, and then they put Jiří versus Ankalaev.
That's not a bad play either. Like a true number one contenders fight while he's staying busy at heavyweight, and win or lose, he comes back and defends his title. I like that because here's the other thing I was going to go with is I think it's probably too quick of a turnaround, even though I know he was talking about fighting next month in Brazil, because maybe on the Manchester event, would you want Jiří to get a title shot in Manchester against
Pereira?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's like a second. Oh, I guess you're already going to have two title fights on there, yeah, right, with yeah. Leon and Aspinall. So you don't really
is
need
that
a third.
I saw something that Aspinall said something, 304.
He just said he's fighting. He didn't say the date, but I think he just said I'm fighting in Manchester.
But it's a
which, yeah, and Dana's already said, like, you know, we're going there.
Okay.
So anyway, I don't know. That's a good idea, though, man. That's not a bad, like, number one contender fight.
Yeah, I mean, Ankalaev, he has the star power amongst the Muslim community, the Muslim fan base and stuff like that, but to the general fans and stuff like that.
Jiří's going to be the more popular guy.
He's the
guy.
Sexier fighter, right?
Yep.
He's the sexier matchup, sorry.
Of course. Hey, man, you let it all hang out here
bro,
today.
Bro, I'm just staying with Kenny.
This is a safe space, okay? You can, yeah. You can let your feelings out.
I don't know what to say about that. Yeah. I don't know what to say
it
about
is,
that.
It is, though. That's kind of where the direction I was leaning is. I think if you do it in Abu Dhabi, Ankalaev is the pick. I hate to say it, but if you do it almost anywhere else. And it's funny because, like, Ankalaev is actually a pretty good fighter. Well, he's a really good fighter.
Yeah,
he's a
good
very fan. Entertaining fighter. But I'm always – I couldn't even know why I said pretty good. He's a really good fighter. I like his style. But I was going to say, like, I've just always felt like – cause and you know, you've been in the room with him, right? He always has this, like, weird smile. You know what I mean? Like, he always, it feels like he's saying something funny, but, you know,
we
obviously
hear
we don't
yeah,
get
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
We started – Sergey, the Russian translator Sergey is much better, and I think we started to get a little bit more personality of these fighters.
I think with him seeing especially, like, how Fabiano's able to – one, he gets a lot of work.
Yeah.
But the inflections and how people are able to actually ask more stuff from the fighter if they get the gist of how the fighter's feeling. And I think the fighter understands that more of what they're actually saying is getting out there. So I think what he's doing is picking up on the fact that, hey, if I keep doing this, the fighter's going to keep giving more. And
yep.
I think he wants to spotlight the personalities.
Agreed,
I think
right?
He wants them to – come off as good as they can.
Because you probably feel like you're helping them out, right? Like, I know how to get their message out to the world. They can't because they don't speak this language. I do, so I'm going to use that.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing if you're in that role,
I think he cares about I think he cares about the fighters more so than just, hey, this is a gig that I'm coming to get a paycheck to do it. I think he wants the best for the fighters.
And I think those are I think both those guys really feel that way. And it's so true because you nailed it. Not to, like, hit on, you know, take shots at anybody else that's translated. But I think a lot of people that got hired to translate literally did. They showed up to get a paycheck because it was a job
paycheck.
They were doing, not like, I actually care about this and I want to help these guys get their message across. I know I can help them star power. So, all right, so what would you book? So would you book, would you go that number one contender route? If you were in the Tuesday matchmaker meeting and they said, you know, the other dude that won the contest, we kicked him out. Now we're going with you, Abby Simon. How do we book this thing?
So we got Pereira, who's the fastest rising light star to get two titles, right? Two divisions. Why not give him the fucking heavyweight
chance? Give him the heavyweight fight?
Yeah. I'm happy with the number one contenders. Like,
that's
pretty
cool.
They can fight one more time before they reach Pereira. Gives him time. But I don't know how quick they can turn around and make it a heavyweight fight. It won't be 3-0-1, but his next fight.
That would be cool. I hadn't even thought about that. Outside the box. Well done, sir.
Yes, sir.
Well done, sir. I like that message.
They got to do something with Ankalaev, though. I mean, he's been on the fence since January. You know, at some point, they got to give him something. They got to give him something. I mean, Abu Dhabi, and the more that they're going back there, the fact they're getting – they got two events going back at the end of the year. I mean, like, there's a lot of stuff over there. I mean, who better than to have one of those guys? And I can see a guy like Alex not minding going over there.
I
almost feel like he'd rather go there as opposed to, say, like you said, when you said Manchester or England. I feel like it's more neutral space for everybody going to, like, Abu Dhabi as opposed to an English-speaking country or something along those lines.
I think they would love him in England. Oh, my God.
I'm sure Alex Behead
in England. I think they'd love him anywhere. I mean, they love him here in the States, and, I mean, that's kind of a big point there. It's like the States, it's like if they love you here, I think they'll love you anywhere, you know, especially. So I think Magomed obviously is key over there. I think it's just whoever's the best dance partner to appease, you know, like the Muslim audience as well as the Abu Dhabi overseers now that are going to be taking over the UFC here. Yeah, I mean, but it's going to be great. I wouldn't mind seeing, you know, if it's a matter of, hey, we'll let you go to the heavyweight, but you're going to agree to fight whatever this, you know, in Abu Dhabi after the fact, give him whatever and let him go to a heavyweight fight, even if he does. It's just a matter of, you know, if you're giving him that fight and say there is an injury, you know, already you just sidelined the whole division for months. And then it's like, okay, then we're going to have to come up with an interim, you know, or all this other shit that gets kind of murky. But out of the two, I'm in no rush to have Jiří fight for the title. I mean, I thought it was a great performance. I'm in no rush to do that. I would like to see, I don't know why, if Uncle Ive isn't injured, he should be the guy that's fighting for
them. I agree.
He should
be I like your creativity, but if I'm doing it, I'm more a traditional booking. I'm doing it in Abu Dhabi. You take Alex. Let's say Alex does go, because this was running through my head too. If Alex does get a heavyweight fight, right, because he said he wants it, and guy's a star, why not, right? What would you do with booking him then? Because, I mean, I could say, like, now, if you want history, right, you go ahead and put him in an interim title fight, right? You put him against Aspinall. I do believe that is a very tough/bad matchup for Alex Bejeda. I know he's got power to knock out anybody, but Aspinall's speed, his grappling. I'm thinking of more like a Derek Lewis/Jairzinho Rosenstrike type
matchup. We're not
Ciryl Gane? Who would you put?
Putting him straight.
That's what I'm saying. Would you go straight for the title? You put him in the interim?
That's it. Yeah. I mean, go big or go home when it comes to the heavyweight.
Not like, don't just take a heavyweight fight. It's got to be for a belt.
Don't go test the waters in there, because you're not moving up to that division for, like, you know, you're not permanently moving up there.
Right.
You're just going up there just to.
So you're not doing a heavyweight fight, just a heavyweight fight.
But it's hard to, how do you have the interim fighter, even if it's a guy coming up, how do you not have the belt on the line at that point? And does Tom want to risk it for a guy that's moonlining up in his division?
Well, he's putting on his Instagram a picture of him
staring at
Alex Pereira. He wants that.
I saw that.
Bro, he likes that. I think Aspinall is game for whatever now. Like, he knows he's already put it out there. He wants to fight John Jones. He'll fight Stipe. Whatever. He'll do whatever. Yep. But if they're not giving him what he wants, right, the next big star is some motherfucker that wants to come up and touch
it's
me.
Just tough.
Let's go.
It's tough. I mean, because if I have the interim belt, I don't want to fight for anything that's not making it a unified belt. Right. I don't want to risk just for activity.
That's the difference.
Unless you know that there's going to be a fact where you're not fighting for a year and you're not getting a paycheck. But if you go up and you take an interim fight and you lose the belt, and then you're like, well, fuck, I just lost all the – I lost points. I lost everything.
The way I see it with Tommy Aspinall, though, is that he's young.
Oh, Tommy?
Yeah, he's – Tommy.
That's what we call him over there.
He's young in the game. So, like, you know
– He'll
get back there again, bro. Like, no one moves like him. No one throws like him. So, let's roll.
Man loves him.
I would pick Tommy.
Bro, I am British. I have to –
he's my guy. Like, I mean – I would take Tom Aspinall over Alex Bejeda. I think I would pick Aspinall in that fight. But it would be amazing for Alex, dude, to go up, win the interim title. And then what does that do? If you win the interim title, then what does that mean? You face John Jones next?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You like that idea, oh, bro? You like that? All right.
Shivers.
That's crazy.
Oh,
if we ever see Jones.
Yeah.
At some point, you got to vacate the belt. They just have to take the belt away.
I don't think we've really talked about this incident on the show, because it's just been so busy and 300 was coming up. Hey, man, I'm not trying to minimize things. Look, John Jones finds himself in a lot of trouble over and over and over, and you're like, John, stay out of trouble, right? In this one, I feel like the headlines were a little bit overblown here. Like, I mean, did he say – like, was it dumb of what he said to be like, you know, people come around here, you know what happens to them, they get killed. You know what I mean? Like, dude, stop. Like, why would you say something? But
– even if he was joking, I mean, sarcasm, we take him somebody's thing. I haven't heard him deliver it personally. I could say the same thing with a slight face and a funny thing, and it's one thing. But if you're coming in, and depending on how it's read and depending on whatever, one, you don't want to maybe say those words so anybody could take it out of context.
100%.
But I hate taking one person saying, oh, man, he said, man, you come around here, you're going to kill you. If I said, if somebody comes around my house in the morning, I'm going to fucking kill them.
Right.
If I say, if somebody comes around my house in the morning, I'm going to fucking kill them.
Two different things.
Two different fucking
two entirely
things.
And
two
by the
totally
way,
different things.
If you have a firearm in your hand at the time, that's different than if
that's
you
different.
Don't.
Yeah.
And look, he was, I mean, by all accounts, right, he said he was under the influence when they showed up, right? He was at his house celebrating a party, so he had had a couple cocktails, maybe, you know, a little weed, whatever the case may be. So, again, and I'm not trying to excuse it. He said something stupid.
It was bad decision-making on his part. Whether he was trying to joke or not, you got to choose your words better, because somebody could take it out of context.
Right.
And like you said, we don't want to completely give him a pass because you said the words.
And that was dumb. And
that was dumb.
Said it.
But whether you meant it to be a joke or whether it was taken out of context, you just got to make great decisions. And maybe if you weren't on a bender or if you weren't fucking hungover or you weren't whatever, you're going to make better decisions.
Right.
But that's the unfortunate part about this, people dropping by at any fucking time.
But you don't expect, you know? Exactly. Because, yeah, if somebody come by my house last night at 8 p.m.
It would have been bad.
Looking for a pee test. Like, trust me, I don't even have a firearm, and I probably would have said, you know what happens to people that show up around here?
Pee on your face.
Yeah, they have to deal with drunk me.
I'm going to offer you a beer.
You know what I mean? So, like, I don't know. That's the unfortunate part.
I mean, that's unfortunate. What's crazy about this situation where there's no immediate fight. We get it, and it doesn't seem like it's going to happen any fucking time. Just give the guy. I mean, I know that you don't want to give a heads up, but, like, just
there's
think
no
about
way
when you're coming
legally
over.
Happens to him,
you
know? Right? Bro, nothing's legally going to happen.
The way
to him.
Like, being around UFC fighters on a regular basis, you guys more than me, but every time I've been around a big heavyweight, or yesterday, for example, when I saw Sean Strickland, for example, you see this guy all the time on TV, and then when you see him in person,
did he look bigger in person?
Yeah, and then they lock eyes with you and ask you a fucking question. Yeah. You're like, oh, shit. Like,
he might have watered himself.
He watered his
pants.
Yesterday, he looked at me, hey man, who you with? And I was like,
well, if you can do that impression, I can see why.
I was like, MMA junkie, and he was like, don't film me. I was like, oh, shit. You know what I mean? Like,
instantly felt uncomfortable.
Yeah, so someone that, all right, they work for a drug testing agency. They may not follow the sport. They might just be going to go collect a sample from someone, right? You fucking walk into the house of an alpha male like John Jones, who cuts an intimidating figure, and just says, like, you know, you come to my house, I'll fucking kill you. You know what I mean? Like,
let me ask you.
You can take it the wrong way. You can even take it the wrong way.
Who knows how he delivered it? That's the thing.
Exactly.
I mean,
like, if Kenny says it to me, either way, I'm taking it the wrong way. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know.
You don't know. So, and that's Kenny. He's a big fucking cuddly teddy bear, right? John Jones saying it to you is another story.
If your job is to go around and collect urine from people, right?
Yeah.
Do you think it's best that you do cover them or don't cover them?
Well,
like, I don't like. Is it like? Do you want to like? Would it?
Well, I mean, I think
it would ruin my watching of sport forever if I'm like, I've seen that dude's penis.
They have to watch them active.
I don't know if they have to actually. Yes, they have to. They can expect the inspect the toilet. Say the door's open. You can watch him from the back. You know he's not pouring anything. I don't think you have to look at his dick.
Yeah, you do.
Because I've been in the fucking bathrooms at the UFC when fucking commission's doing it, and they're not watching the fucking dudes pour, you know, pee in the fucking shit.
But you were.
Yeah. That's how I knew they weren't watching, because I was already there. I was like, bro, there's only one glory hole. Get out of it. I'm using this one. Stop. It's my hole first. I mean, yeah. I wonder if they started using the same sample collector so that people became familiar. So then when you see a face, you're like, oh,
okay,
it's fucking Sandy again. Like, yeah. Sandy, you know what I say about you coming over to my house in the morning?
I'm gonna kill you.
I'm gonna kill you, bitch. So take the clothes off. You know, I mean, like, so who knows? I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of something, but again, you know, I'm not giving a pass, because if the words came out, the words came out, and they can be construed anything. It's the same thing when you see things in text. Like, you can't, there's no fucking sarcasm in a text. Somebody writes something in a text like, man, I just want to strangle you. That can be me, like, I just want to strangle you. Or it's like, I'm going to strangle you. Like, there's, you can't get the subtext in it, and you know, and it's just unfortunate, but, you know, bad decision on his part. But if he's fucking hungover or whatever, we get it. So I think am I thinking there's going to be any crazy, like, legal thing, ramification from this? No.
Nah.
Is it a bad look for him? Of course. And I think he's going to have that. But am I going to, you know, chastise the guy and be like, oh, my God, John Jones is up to it again? No.
I feel sorry for the dude with the stigma he carries around with him. Anything that he does, like, blows up, and it's like,
and that could be the reason why the woman maybe thought going into it, like, oh, I gotta watch this guy, he's gonna say some crazy shit, you know. I mean, people can go in there with perception, expecting a result or an attitude, and if you get an inkling of that, boom, it's been triggered.
Yep.
Like, I knew this guy was gonna be trouble,
knew
you know.
And then
sure enough, when I got there, you know, I don't know if that's for the true. I'm not, I don't want
to
put that in this,
is,
in the woman's
that has
mind,
to be the
but
most thankless
it can
job.
Happen.
That has to be one of the most. Thankless
who knows?
Jobs
the person collecting the sample could have been having a shit day too.
Yep.
And just like, oh, he just bit my head off. You know what I mean? Like, just take it the wrong way, and then just fucking, oh, I'm gonna report this motherfucker. You know.
100%. All right.
But regardless, I mean, if he's gone for a long time, we're still sitting here waiting for this fight to ever possibly happen.
At some point, you just got to move on.
You got to move on and say, Jones, when you're ready to come back, I'm going to give you the very first shot at a title. It's going to be a title shot. What's the difference of him holding on to the thing right now if he's not fighting, if he's waiting for this particular fight? Just get rid of this interim title. There used to be reasons for it. You know, now it's just getting played, and now we have an interim champ that can't fight to unify the belt, and then we're going to start fighting to defend the interim belt? What point do we just say stop?
Do either of you remember which UFC it was where Jon Jones beat Ciryl Gane to get the heavyweight title?
UFC 285.
It's March of last year. It's already been more than 13 months. Damn. We don't have a date scheduled, and we really don't even know.
It's ridiculous.
Had UFC 300. That was 280s.
And if it was any other champion, would they get that leeway?
Hell no.
So, I mean, and I get why they explained it in the first part, right. You know, when it was still maybe within a year. You know, I understood why they didn't want to strip. Do you strip Jon Jones? Well, of course not. But at some point, I think we've reached point where do you strip Jon Jones?
Here's what we do. Guys. Guys, it's been 13 months. Tom Aspinall, you're now our undisputed champion. John and Stipe, yours is for an interim title. How about that? It's still for a belt.
Or just the number one contender at that point. You know, like, this is going to be your retirement fight. You know, and at that point, then do they even fight? If they're like, okay, well, if it's not for the belt, if it's like, or whatever, like,
no.
I don't see them wanting to do any more.
How long did Conor have the title before they stripped him before? Like, you know what I mean? So...
It's beyond ridiculous.
I think it's
ridiculous.
Just because they're like...
This was like a year and a half, too.
Superstars,
it's not
right?
injury. It's
super,
not,
superstars.
There's no reason why he's not fighting except for the fact that they're holding out for a particular fight, and that doesn't make any sense.
It's
that
because
you can
these
hold
guys
the division for that long.
They cross cultures, you know what I mean? Like, so... People know who Jon Jones is. People know who Conor McGregor is, right?
Yep.
So if they took strip him
he's
of
the
title...
He's the guy that beat up the old guy in the bar,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, right.
He's an actor guy.
He is an actor.
I hate the fact that we reference those and not the greatness before that, you know?
True.
But it is what it is.
It was a year and a half, by the way.
We forget
Conor
shit. We forget shit after a while.
So he had a year and a half. And so
when was that last fight that we had greatness? When was the last one that he had greatness?
The Cowboy.
What year was that?
Wow. Talking trash. All right, UFC 300. Well, the Conor McGregor. Well, you know, I mean, I guess... I mean, we could get into it. Conor McGregor announcement. I'll tell you what's funny is I do want to ask what your 300 thing is, but the Conor McGregor announcement, I feel good about it, but I got to be honest. Like,
no
everybody I've talked to is just like, is he really going to show up? Is he going to make it? I don't have any concerns. Like,
they don't think he's going to make 170?
That he just won't show up for the fight.
No. I feel as soon as...
Everybody I've talked to is like, is he really going to fight? Is he really going to make it? I feel good with
it.
His last interview.
It's on paper.
It's on paper,
I think,
right?
I think before we were worried because it wasn't...
It was never on paper. Yeah.
Nothing was signed.
As soon as he finished his Roadhouse obligations, he was like, that's it. I'm in camp now.
Okay, so you guys are with me. The number of people I've talked to have just been like, is it really going to happen? What is it?
He finished his giant pile of Coke that he had. He needs
Coke. Good Lord. Oh, Coke coffee.
Cheese
we need
violence.
To get Coke coffee back into a media day immediately, man. You give this man a week off, and all of a sudden, man, he gets out there. Who knew? Who knew? Usually comes home from media day to do this, and he's a little tired, and he's already done some videos. Man, you give the man a week off, he's just firing shots.
Let's go.
Firing shots. Yeah, so all right. So you guys feel good about it. You know what I am interested to see? UFC 303. What else will they put on the card? Once you have Conor on there, right? I mean, that's International Fight Week, right? So you got to, like, it's got to be big.
So got to have at least two title fights,
it's all
fights,
the road
I imagine.
To UFC guys and and contenders.
Keep that shit in the apex, dog.
Yeah.
Like, we got a new Tough finale on there. We got, right? I mean, but when Conor's on there, because he commands a big portion, like, everything that we don't know the specifics
maybe that's
of his
enough.
Contract, but he always
We don't
always
need
has,
to share the pie with anyone.
Honestly, yeah,
champions.
Maybe that's enough. I mean, like, having a Conor fight week, you know, is just fucking madness. Like, I think probably if you get Conor in channel, that's enough.
It kind of doesn't matter what tells
it doesn't matter.
Right.
I don't
mean that as no disrespect to anyone else on the roster.
No.
But all the media from around the globe will show up and not care about. I mean, I don't even know if you could put another fight that they would care about. If those,
just
guys,
sucks,
if that fight
though.
Is on there,
yeah.
that's all they
sucks.
Care about.
It just sucks because you're spending $80, $100, whatever it is, and then you're not watching any. Like the, it's at T-Mobile, right? So no one's going to turn up until the, what? not even the main card on this one. They'll just wait for the co-main.
Halfway through the main card?
Yeah.
Yep.
Did you see? The Vegas crowd's changed. Vegas crowd shows up for prelims now.
Wow.
No.
That week. Yeah.
That was pretty spectacular.
That was impressive. Did you see Eric Winter's tweet that he tweeted out? That and Eric has knowledge of like those stats stuff. He said
Shout out.
Yep. Good dude, man. He said 9,500 tickets were processed prior to the first bout.
Yeah.
So 9,500 people in the building.
It was one of the first times I've taken a picture of the line before an event. I took it, and it was like literally from the door to that street crossing over to like the Park MGM. Like it was, the whole plaza was full. Like
wow.
I can't remember the last time I saw a line that stretched the full distance of the plaza going over into the Park MGM area. It was impressive. They showed up, man. I love it. The tickets were steep, so I'm glad that people got their money's worth. We were waiting in line to get our media passes, and people were still going up asking for tickets, and it was 2,000 for floor seats.
What?
It was standing room only. Was 400 or 500 for standing room only?
Standing room only.
And the nosebleeds, I want to say, way up top, were still around the 500 range or whatever.
Holy cow!
Yeah.
I was talking to. We bumped into a fan that said he decided to pull the trigger the night before, and he said he paid something like $700 for nosebleeds.
Yeah, that's nuts. Yeah, it's crazy.
It was a special night, though. You got rewarded for it.
It was special, but I mean,
it's a lot of money.
So, and I'll get your thoughts too. Like, floor seats, I think, are overpriced for what you get, because depending if you're not in the front, your view is going to be obstructed. It's not worth it. And so, part of these guys
are first row on the floor, it's worth it.
It's worth it
because you get it's amazing.
Maybe the second row.
If you got a girl who's like really into like celebrity, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like maybe she doesn't really know fights that much, but she loves like celebrities.
Yeah.
Then it's probably worth your money because she's
still gotta
get the
be towards it. You still got to be up.
Still got to be up to the front. But yeah,
if you're in the back, your view is going to be obstructed. And I think you'd be sorely
if you buy floor tickets and you're in the last row of the floor section. Like, yeah. It's. I mean, look, it's going to feel cool, and you're gonna have like the big screens and all that.
And the
but
view
for
of
what
the,
you're
the
paying,
view of the stands around you is cool, but
that's not
what you're paying for.
But maybe you
are if you're in the social thing.
The best spot is as you guys know, a few rows off the floor.
Well,
if you get
like
a seat,
the lower bowl.
Where you got me tickets for Jones versus Santos,
right?
Yeah? Those seats there, that's probably the best view.
That's it. You kind of get the eye line of the
Where
cage
is that?
Right
what
there.
What would you say that is? What, first tier?
Like, yeah,
Yeah, that's money. That's
lower bowl is definitely the way to go. And if you can get as close to the front in the lower bowl is always going to be ideal, because then you're up a little bit. You're not going to get – it's just the obstructive view. If somebody stands up and you're on the floor and you're in the back, somebody stands up, your view's fucked, depending on where you are. But it's funny. You know, there's a guy's in the line, and we heard the ticket person saying like, oh, yeah, so there's a couple seats here in the end in this row. It's $2,000 per one, and we're in the front of the media row waiting to get our ticket. And we're like, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Don't do it. Look for a lower bowl.
Wrong. You know, they're cock blocking the UFC.
But at that point, it's just T-Mobile. I was like, yeah, whatever. But yeah, I mean, like, but let's be honest. I'd rather somebody, because you know how hard, hard-earned money, man. It's hard to come by your money, and you hate to see somebody waste just because they want to be at this event.
Yeah.
But yeah, so yeah, sorry, UFC. I saw it.
By the way, they put out a press
release. I think they were maybe just window shopping anyways. I don't know how really they were like, please tell me about the floor seats. You know, let me hold my Cabernet.
I'll be honest. Like that's pretty baller if you walk up and be like, hey, they're $2,000 a seat. And you're like, yeah, I'll take two. Like, here, $4,000.
They tried to barter for the two for 2,000. And they're like, she's like, I don't control that. And I was like, good try, though. I was like.
It's like, we can do a two for one?
Yeah.
Like,
trying to get a
special at the T-Mobile box office.
Yeah.
Do I get a locals discount?
Does my ID give me a discount?
So crazy.
Two for one?
By the way, they put out a press release right before I showed up over here today. $16.5 million was the third highest grossing UFC ever. $20,067, a new record for T-Mobile. Most watched pay-per-view prelims ever. Number one all-time merchandise sales for an arena event. Number two all-time merchandise sales, only behind UFC 193, Rousey versus Holm, which is obviously a big stadium. Highest grossing sponsorship sales. Highest pay-per-view since 2021. And just blew it away.
I mean, that definitely partially goes into the cost of the things. So if they're still selling tickets that day, you know it's not officially sold out, whether they said it's not or whatever. And if they're still getting almost their best gate, definitely the cost of things has changed quite a bit.
It's like London. Like, you can't the normal fan just can't go to these events anymore.
It's sad.
It sucks.
I feel like it wasn't that long. Well, maybe.
Well, if you're over in Europe, go to a Cage Warriors show. You know, so that's why I support your local MMA, man. Yeah.
And
support
Cage Warriors is super enjoyable, man. Yeah, fun shows. Yeah.
I feel like you used to be able to find like those upper tiers for the UFC events for like $100, $150
Yeah, they would
bucks,
still have
man.
Like some cheap. Yeah. Tickets. Yeah, now there's no tickets.
You're standing
no
behind a thing, wall.
The cheap ticket now is the pay-per-view.
I can't believe standing room only. Where do you stand? You stand around the.
It has to be like
concourse?
Like the nightclub area or whatever. That's what I bet it is. The Hyde nightclub.
That's crazy. To pay that kind of money up there.
So we're cracking these, JMO. What is this?
Oh yeah,
Bush Light.
Oh yeah, we got started with the award-winning PBR. Now we're moving on to the Bush Light. Got the room. You have to let us know. This is not exactly a. British lager here.
Okay, let's give it
give
a go.
Us a shot. Oh, live taste testing of the leftover
Bush Light. He's been saying that he's been very, like, sort of dehydrated, so he's been drinking lots of water. This is very hydrating.
It's literally just water, right?
It just tastes like water.
It's water that'll give you a buzz.
Water.
Yep. Water.
Oh, yeah, it tastes like water.
By the way, hey, I do want to say
it's not bad, though, right?
It's not bad. It's, yeah.
As when we were kids, like, Bush Light was one of the ones, Natural Light, Bush Light.
I'm not going to lie. When we were having it the other day, I was fearful of it, and I left going, I would actually drink that.
I'm hydrated.
Yeah, no. I'm hydrated. Yeah. Exactly.
That's it.
Hey, I did want to share something as well on UFC 303. You guys know, especially Cold Coffee, I'm a big fan of Cosm, the big shared reality thing. Their L.A. location is opening in time for UFC 303. So if you're in LA, it's in Los Angeles's Hollywood Park, so it's right by SoFi Stadium. They actually sent me a press release and were like, hey man, if you want to come out, come check it out. But obviously I'll be in the arena. I was like, that's the second best place to watch this. I just happen to be in the first best place to watch it. So I'm going to stay there. But I told them one of the next ones that I'm not traveling to a pay-per-view at, I want to go to LA and watch it there. But if you're in the LA area, I'm telling you, man, I got to see the demo of this thing in Salt Lake, and it is super freaking cool, man. So if you're in the LA area and look for a different way to bring in UFC 303, check out that. The tickets aren't on sale yet, but they said it's going to be on sale in May at cosm.com. So that's COSM.com. And they're going to have an app as well, I guess, that you can buy them there. So that, and then the second one is actually opening later this year in Dallas, actually. In the Colony, actually, is a suburb. So anyway. About to share that because I am all in on this thing.
Yeah, you showed me some stuff on it.
I want somebody to go and tell me how it is. I'm going to get to another one after that. I want somebody to go and tell me how it is because I think the concept looks super cool. All right, Cold Coffee, what was your standout moment of UFC 300? You know, whether it be an interview. I know you were doing a lot more talking in the back than you were probably watching fights. But was there anybody that you walked away from thinking like, damn, that's the one that'll stand out to me?
There's probably a couple. I thought the Kayla Harrison fight lived up to what we thought it was going to be, even more so to where, you know, it was almost like Holly. I think a lot of people thought Holly would do better. I picked Harrison.
Yeah.
So I wasn't too surprised, but I thought, you know, that was a great showing to actually just see her. Like, you know, it's like what we thought she could do against a high level. You know, for anybody that was saying like, oh, well, we're not quite sure, she hasn't fought anybody in the UFC. Well, she just fought a former champ and made it look pretty easy, you know, so that was interesting.
I agree.
Diego Lopez, of course, did a great performance. I mean, that kid's he's a superstar in the making, man. I think it's amazing. And I think once if he was able to talk, speak English, I think people would just
be
love with the dude because I think he actually has a really, really great personality.
Would he be as popular if he had a different haircut?
It's part of him. It's part of
it
the.
Is,
it's
right?
part of the mystique,
as
you know.
That is.
Well, it's funny because I mean,
goofy,
even plays it off a little bit. Yeah, I think it's part of it. It's part of his, you know, thing. Yeah, if he came in with a buzz cut, we'd just be like, oh, that's
right,
just Diego.
get out of here! I hate to say that, but it is. It's part of the charm,
it's
right?
It's proper business in the front, party in the back, like because he's got like a side part at the front as well, like.
And I mean, the card top to bottom was really, really great. And I feel like it'd be wrong if I didn't say that Armin Tsarukyan's fight against Charles Oliveira wasn't badass. It was just badass. That was incredible.
That was another one that, you know, we were like, hey, this could be really special and delivered, right?
Yep.
I mean, if that's not the same night as Holloway Gaethje, if that's not the fight right before, people are probably talking about that fight a lot more, right?
I think if anybody had any doubts at all of whether this guy had a potential to be a champ or has like what's in it, I think that's what better example right there. I mean, like,
I
think a lot of people saw Oliveira. They were like, there's no way that Armin, he's going to be able to do what he needs to do. He's not going to be able to get striking. And Charles tested him. Charles put it on him, and fuck, he pulled it out, man. And I thought that was an incredible. I think if anybody has doubts on Armin now, they're just hating.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, 100%.
Agree. And by the way, don't flip off a fighter walking to the cage.
No.
You know,
and I'm not in typical in John Jones style. I would also say to Armand Sarukian, that does not allow you to go swing on the fan. Yeah. But if you're the fan,
he does respond to the.
What do you say?
Like, yeah, I think we're probably gonna get sued. Like,
that was pretty great. I know a lot of people don't like Danny, but that was a pretty good Danny moment. Right
what did
there.
He say? He's like, I'm Russian, so if you tell me to fuck myself, I'm gonna punch you. I'm paraphrasing, but it was something along those lines.
That was great, that was. I just. Of all the, I mean, like, God, fans.
Right before the walkout, too, like, that's where his head was, like, to the point, like, how do you not get out of your head and out of your like, your
war mode.
You're in war mode. Yeah. Exactly, right? Like, come on, man. That was crazy.
That guy must have shit himself. You can see him backing up.
Everybody off to the sides were shitting themselves, like, what the fuck just happened?
They're
like, did he just literally throw at somebody?
It was funny because, like, obviously where I'm sitting, they walk in on the opposite side, so I didn't see it with my eyes, but I saw it on the monitor, and I'm like, holy shit, right? But it was so funny to see, like, the security inspectors that were walking with him because, like, after they got done, then they kind of walked to our side, and you could see they were just like,
yeah.
Oh, my God, like, I'm going to get fired. Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, what just happened?
How did that happen? I mean, I think that's the one thing they had no expect. It's one thing when they're expecting something to come from the fans going into the walkway.
I'm not looking at the fighter trying to keep
going outwards,
out.
You know? Like, so now what, they're going to have the guys walk in. Instead of just putting their arm out, blocking the crowd, they're going to have to put their other arm on the inside, blocking the inside.
So true.
Walk forward with both arms extended.
Oh, it's so true.
But I thought that fight was great. It was an incredible night. I mean, I think we talked about the potential of how good the night could be, and it delivered. It delivered. I mean, it was – I can't think – if you told me, pick a fight that sucked, I don't know where to start.
I hate to say it because the only one you would – and I love the guy – is Aljamain. That's probably where you'd say that was the most
–
but that wasn't a terrible fight.
No.
To me, there was tension throughout it too because you're like, okay, he's not really controlling this. And like, dude, Calvin looked huge next to Aljamain, man. So like – that's why I think
Calvin
most people
a dangerous dude. Like,
I love it. Even Dana didn't poop on him too bad, right? You know what I mean? It's like, but I'll tell you what.
So I guess, I'll give you that. But I wouldn't even say it was a bad
fight. But I don't think it was a bad fight either.
But, yeah, when you compare it up against all the other great fights that happened. But, I mean, that was the thing, man. There were great fights from top to bottom. I mean, it started off great, and it just stayed great.
Amazing.
I mean, hell of a night, man.
So
oh, my God, didn't it, right? But Jim Miller, man, how fucking tough is that dude? His face was demolished. And he was just like, no, let's keep going. I was like, I loved it. I just wish there was a better moment between those two at the end of it. I wanted to see Bobby kind of them just hug it because I felt like Jim was open to it, but Bobby was into like cut promo mode. Like, give me the mic, whatever sort of. I just wanted to see that after what a great fight and just what that night meant, and then the whole just taking part in the 300. I would have loved to have seen a little bit more. Not I don't want to say respect. I just wish there was more, just some sort of discussion between the two afterwards.
Yep.
You know, I felt like after a battle like that, like take a moment, you know, like praise each other face to face, and then you know, have that moment whether you want to share it with us or not, you know, have that moment. But you know,
Jim Miller, dude, that dude's so tough.
Wish
you would have shot for a few more takedowns. Not that I don't like seeing Bobby Green win. I love Bobby Green. Like, I hated that matchup in a lot of ways because
I think he trusted that he could do some damage to Bobby, and he rocked Bobby sometimes. I mean, he gave Bobby some good
Bobby
shots, man.
It.
So I mean, like.
He did.
I can't blame him. I mean, and obviously, who are we to judge him? I mean, look, the dude's still around. He's still fighting. Who are we to tell Jim Miller what to do? You know, it's just crazy.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah,
all right.
Just going back to the Aljo thing. I got to work with him on the Funk Chronicles back in the day.
Yeah.
And that was just like documenting his weight cut throughout the whole thing to get down to 135, right? He was massive. He was massive to get down and the struggle there. I was happy to see him with an additional 10 pounds here.
Yeah. But when he would like literally like start crying on the scale, like that tells you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like that tells you.
So just to see him at 145 is an achievement, and I'm super happy to see him there, but I still think Aljo's small for that division, man. He's a proper tweener, right? There should be like a weight class in between, but I'm excited to see his journey moving forward.
I agree.
Shout out Aljo.
He's a good dude, man. CFFC Hall of Famer, of course, man. Like, I've always been a big fan of that guy. From the time he was a prospect, watching it get on the way up, man, I've always liked this game. All right, so listen, no UFC this weekend, so obviously we're not covering the UFC in town this weekend, but there is some high-level MMA, so if you want to, not take a full week off, you do have on Friday the PFL returns in Chicago, so if you're in the Chicago area, you can check it out there. If not, you can watch it on ESPN Plus, ESPN, ESPN 2. I'm not sure what all they're set up on this week. They're all in the ESPN family. You know, you got some of it. Maybe this is an opportunity for him to shine, right? I mean, I know there's been a lot of discussion. I know Aaron Bronstetter fired up everybody in the community when he was like, oh, why isn't everybody talking about it? And people got a little defensive, like, hey, we are talking about it. And it was, seemed like it was a hot button talk for a little bit. But it is hard. Like, I mean, dude, they did a show on Friday night in Las Vegas, and I get it. You know, I don't know how much that was. First of all, for anybody, by the way, that just thinks, you know what we'll do for our organization that'll get us attention is we'll just do the Friday night of a UFC event. Like, you're going to get buried. You know what I mean? Like, it may seem – like, I get on the one hand, it may seem like, dude, there's all the media in town. There's all the fans in town. But the fans are already getting ready for 7 hours of MMA the next day. They're probably not going to go do 7 hours of MMA. Like, you know, I would say, honestly, like, an organization like Karate Combat or a grappling organization might be better off. You know what I mean? Because it's actually, like, in the combat sports realm, but not the exact same thing. So, anyway – I don't know if the PFL will ever do that again, but I mean they did get it got absolutely buried, right? I don't know, I didn't see it, but this was not just a UFC event. This was UFC 300, you know what I mean? So they got no coverage last week, but maybe this is an opportunity to get some coverage this week with you know with nothing going against it and not all the attention on it.
Much better chance.
Much better. Much better.
I mean, I can't blame. I mean, we can't fault them for their idea. It's just. You went up against the biggest UFC event of the year, quite possibly, and it's just you know it was just a tough card. But not like it's not like they know what the card's going to be. And but also on the same side, they can't stop working just because they're going to butt up against a UFC.
But it's true.
It's better than going on the same night. That's for sure. You're never going to get anybody on the same night. And if you want to have any chance of any media attending your event, you're not going to go up against them on the same night.
That's the thing is, that, and because you're spot on about
at least
the fact,
in the same town.
Well, exactly, and that's the thing is you're spot on about the fact that you can't. Run your entire business worried about what they're doing. Yeah. You just got to worry about what you're doing. And if you end up running on the same night sometimes or they end up screwing you up a little bit,
it's going to happen.
But
it's going to happen.
That is the thing is that, you know, again, you had all this media in town, but like the media days were the exact same days.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that means nobody's going to go to the PFL media day because they're going to go to the UFC media. And it's a weird UFC media day where it's 24 people long or 26 people long, 12 current or former champions, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. You know the stats. So again, I don't know if this was them again. And I've been hurt. I've been told, you know, it's certain, they get certain dates and ESPN has a big say in where the events take place and all that. But if this was a test the waters and let's see how this works, hopefully I would imagine they look at that and say, this is not wise for us moving forward because we got no coverage whatsoever.
Yeah. That's tough. I mean, I haven't. It's not like they tell us the feedback. It's not like they give us, you know, reports how it turned out. But that is a conversation I wouldn't mind when I actually see some of the PR staff afterwards and be like, are you guys happy with that? I mean, are you going to change things up for the future? I think right now they're so hit at the ground running with doing these events weekend after weekend after weekend. I don't even know if they've had time to really sit back and process. Was that weekend a win for them?
I bet not. No,
because they had to get going because they're going again. Yeah, they had it the week before. They did it that week, and they're ready to go this week. You know, and like we said, it's going to be a better week for them. But in terms of the overall thing, they probably haven't even processed whether that week was really even a win because they just had to get through. In their minds, they're like, we just got to get through the regular season. Then we work towards the playoff. And then, of course, I think the build-up for the playoffs and then for the championship always ramps
always
up by the end
bigger,
of the year.
Yep.
You know, it's keeping that interest in the regular season when there's still nothing's – well, something's on the line, but not as much as it gets further in the week. But I thought it was good fights. The fights that I saw of it, I thought it was decent, but it was certainly no UFC 300 card, but there were some good fights on that one.
It was. Good matchups this week. Andre Korshkov versus Magomed Mulatov. By the way, it's welterweights and featherweights, so those are just two, to me, I think those are typically deep weight classes.
Yep.
Brendan Lachman, Pedro Carvalho, Logan Storley
That's
versus Shamil Musaev. I mean, there's some good fights up and down here, some recognizable names. Bubba Jenkins is back. I always love watching Bubba Jenkins compete.
He's a fucking madman.
I love that guy.
Dude.
He's one of the best interviews in the game right now.
100%.
He's one of the best
like,
personalities
he is definitely
in the game.
One of the ones, like, if you're looking for a guy that you're like, all right, I want somebody to follow our sport. I want to follow our organization. He's one of the cats where you're like, just follow his fights, but then even better – watches interviews in the lead ups to things. He gets it and he sells it perfectly. He's funny, man. He's funny, he's witty, he's sharp, and he's not afraid to talk shit about his opponents.
Oh, no.
Like constantly he'll find some reason.
He's the best.
Yeah,
he's absolutely amazing. One of the best personalities in 100%. The game right now.
Yep.
Adam Boris versus Enrique Barzola could be a fun fight. So look, man, if you got Friday open, if you're not tied up, And you know, you're probably fiending, right? I mean, we're all like, oh, I need a week off. You know what I mean? And then you get a week off, and you're like, yeah, but what am I doing this weekend?
I don't mind watching on the TV.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Watch on TV. That's what I'm saying.
I don't like it.
Exactly, right? I think this is going to be a good card. I think this is definitely worth watching. I know
Yamauchi
last week.
Yamauchi and Gracie. That one's going to be a good
one. That'll be a good one. And yeah, last week, I guess if you watched live, you were rewarded with a hot mic moment that I know.
That was only one of multiple ones. Like, because I remember commenting in our Slack thing. I remember that happened. But even just while they were chatting about other stuff, when Pitbull lost his fight and his team was arguing about the decision, they were trying to do an interview, but the team was still bitching. You could hear O'Connell say, like, you know, can you stall for some time? The team's still up there bitching or groping about the loss to the ref, blah, 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 blah. And I was thinking, I would send it to the message to the team. I was like, these open mics is not going to do them any favors tonight. And I was like, I can't believe they're leaving the mics open because now you're just hearing bitch.
And then that
but
came later.
But, of course, the other thing came, and it was just like, there could have been multiple things that came out of that night where the hot mic being open. And if PFL doesn't pay attention, and I've heard that that's been a problem at other events, that they just leave it open for some particular reason. One, you know this better than anybody else. If you are there and you're live and the event has started, you almost have to treat that mic that is always 100%. Hot. You have to
you
be
have
professional.
To assume that is going to
you
somewhere.
You have to assume
that somebody's hearing what you're saying. I don't care if you've got talkback pressed. I don't care if you've got cough pressed. Yep. I don't care what's going on. You have to assume that's going out somewhere. Yep. So that is on Sean to understand. But you would also like to think that the production team has got your back and understands when your mic is open, because it's not supposed to be open all the time.
And who is not monitoring to pay attention? If it's just a matter of patching, like, okay, that was supposed to be an internal channel. It was never supposed to get patched to go out to program. Somebody fucked up on that. And who is not monitoring what's going out to understand, oh, hey, guys, by the way, this is going out. Production failed O'Connell, Sean, and they failed the whole organization, because whatever backlash comes from that, that's on them from dropping the ball. And we've said it in the
they deserve to be held accountable.
They deserve to be held accountable.
You know me, in situations not necessarily like this, I'm not the one that goes, that person should lose their job. Like, I know how hard it is to support a family. You know what I mean? I know how, you know, man, we saw our former colleague, Steven Morocco, this week.
Yeah, I figured we'd say something about that.
Lose his position. And it's painful, right? You know what I mean? Like, he bared his soul, right? Where he was like, how am I going to pay my mortgage? I don't really know right now. You know what I mean? And that's reality. So I'm not of the mind that, like, well, Sean needs to be fired, or the production guy needs to be fired. Right. But you have to be held accountable. On the one hand, you say, Sean, you have to not say these things. You have to assume that
mic
is hot. And Sean already came out. I saw he apologized and said, I
got
to do better.
I'm glad he got out of it really quickly. Got out of the way.
I got to do better.
Yep.
But that production person, they got to be held accountable too. And they got to own their responsibility.
Team.
Like, dude, you
got to
look out
for
them.
Not just the audio guy, like the team. There's multiple people. The production needs to. And I've heard that's had problems in the past. And, you know, like I said, not calling for anybody's heads, but just change. Be better. Because they failed him. They failed the team. They failed the people watching it.
Yep.
And all the teams that got affected by something that was said, you know, you took the shine off their performance, whether it was a win, whether it was a loss or anything. You took away from them because of
that was the biggest headline of the night, right?
Huge.
That was the biggest headline of the night.
Easily. It's what people were tweeting about the next day.
That's where the traffic was.
People always say, you know, any publication's good, you know, there's no bad promotion or whatever the phrase is.
Yeah.
You don't want that being the biggest thing that people are talking about, is that one of your fighters.
There's no such thing as bad PR. That is bad PR.
That was bad PR.
That's not good.
Yeah. That's bad PR.
I guess to follow Steven Morocco. Yeah. Shout out to Steven, man. You know, it's, man, we go way back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was, you know, one of the first people we ever hired at Junkie after, you know, I was number one that they brought on, and then we went and got Steven Morocco, the number two, and obviously he went on to MMA fighting. And as you guys know, I think it's, you know, less competition than it used to be, but, you know, it's still healthy competition, right? But Junkie and fighting, you know, there was a time when none of us liked each other. Now we just all end up on the road together, so we have to talk, and we end up being friends. But there's still that rivalry. Like, those are the top two sites in terms of traffic and everything. And so, you know, once he went over to the dark side, we didn't necessarily stay in touch as long as we did. But you know, I definitely reached out to him yesterday. And I don't know, man. I just want to say my thoughts, because it's not man, it's just not easy to have the rug pulled out from you like that
100%.
Unexpectedly, man. It's not, you know, and I don't know, you know, if it, hopefully they gave him some kind of, you know, severance package or something along that. But like I said, I know he's you know, got a wife and a house and, and all those things. And, man, to just all of a sudden one day you don't have a paycheck anymore, like, that's some scary shit in this world. Especially in this world right now, man, right? Like, dude, where the cost of everything is rising. And I don't know, man. So I just want to send some love out. Steven, not always the most loved guy, and I think he even said it himself. He's like, I know that I'm not always the most loved. You know, and a lot of that went to the fact that he covered a lot of subjects that were touchy and uncomfortable and that made people, but that
what were.
What did
you just call him, the sheriff, deputy, or whatever? Because he always loved the legal stuff. I mean, like, there was, when you knew there was a legal thing where somebody had to get to the nitty gritty about it and wasn't going to be shy about it and wasn't going to run away from it and wasn't going to be worried about whether somebody was going to be upset at it. That was Steven. He loved jumping on that shit, you know? So, I mean, yeah, I mean, was there a guy that people wanted to put a target on for stuff that was written? But he knew that, and he went in there. And
he did it right. I'll tell you what, he did it right. He got everybody's side of the story. You know 100%. What I mean? Like, it may not be comfortable. He was calling everybody, asking for some comment, asking for – you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to do that side – and listen, it takes a special kind of person to understand that, like, I know that what I'm doing is not necessarily going to be appreciated by all, but I feel that it is important in my role. If you're going to do that – there's a way to do it properly, and he did it properly. And, you know,
he was one of the first junkie members that I met on the road when when I started doing it, and he was super friendly and always had my back, especially when we started working together as well.
You guys did some show. He was always Berlin, was Mr. Germany, right? He always lived
in
the
Berlin one time, and you know, if anyone knows Steven, like, he's got this mustache that grows like weird color. Like, I always used to point
it's
out.
Half.
Yeah,
it's
like,
half and half.
But he is a solid guy, and I was just sad to see what happened yesterday, man.
Yep. I saw a lot of people reaching out on Twitter and stuff. I didn't want to be one of those guys that just did it, so I just sent him a text. And you'll get a laugh out of this, because I mean, and I don't think Steve would mind me sharing this. So I sent him a text and I said some stuff, and he wrote back and he's like, "Is there a hotel room I could lock you out of that would lift my spirits?" And I said, I was like, "I would gladly allow that if it would help."
That is so listen, it's funny because I was with Abby yesterday. We were kind of jotting around town a little bit when we heard about it. And so I did the same thing. In a situation like that, I'm not that I'm putting down anybody that did tweet him or whatever, but I was just like, I know the guy. I'm going to text him. You know what I mean? So I text him. And
I did the same.
I sent it, and it was funny. I just had some words for him. But at the end, I was like, you know, because I was basically like, look, if there's anything I can do to help you, like, don't hesitate to call me. I know we haven't worked together in a long time. And at the end, I had typed out, like, I was like, just don't be locking me out of any Airbnbs. And then, like, you know, but then I deleted it because I was like, you know what? I'm trying to be funny. And I was like, this isn't really a time to be funny. Yeah. But, yes, we have two.
So he offered it up.
That's hilarious because for anybody that doesn't know, because I think we talked about it pretty openly at the time because we were not happy. He twice locked us out of Airbnbs, once in
Australia,
and once in Scotland.
Yeah.
Because he sleeps with headphones
on
and earplugs or whatever. And so, like, he locked the wrong lock and he hit like the internal lock.
The deadbolt.
Both times he had the deadbolt that you don't have a
key
for.
Yeah.
And so he locked us out, and obviously you and I weren't always known for coming in early, unless you considered it early in the morning,
the next morning.
And so, you know, and normally when we came in, we might have had a fraud. We can relate to John Jones as saying I would kill a person. In fact, there was almost a homicide one night in Australia. I had to like step in and be like, Kenny, I need you to go to bed right now. You go to that room.
Oh, I love the dude, man. I'm gutted for him, man. I think it sucks.
That's hilarious that he said that.
Oh, dude. That's Steven. I mean, that's Steven in a nutshell. I mean, like, people think he's just all fucking legal this and legal that. I mean, like, there's a warm, funny individual in there behind all that guy that you need. Behind the deputy, behind the badge, there is a, what do we call him, the sheriff?
I think it's
a
deputy, right?
I think it was deputy. There is somebody out, you know, as opposed to, and I'm going to say this because I almost tweeted, but fuck it, this is my podcast. I can say what the fuck I want.
Yep.
Campbell McLaren is a fucking asshole. He chose to go out of his way and say, I searched Fired MMA Journal and Steve Morocco's ex post and Googled Combat Global Steve Morocco, and nothing came up. Nada. How can somebody have written about MMA for so many years and never once mentioned? People have already replied back and showed articles or whatever. But Campbell, you're a fucking asshole. He's what a dick. And I'm like, you want to know why people don't write about your shit and your promotion? It's you, sir. It is you causing the beef against your organization. You want to help your organization get people to write about you more? Leave. Stop representing it, and people will cover it. That's all I got to say. I thought it was a shitty fucking move for him to come out and try to shit on a guy that had
on
nothing to do
day.
With it
on
his worst day. So, yeah, fuck you, Campbell. Fuck you.
Yeah, I –
So that's
words,
that. That's all I gotta say. I mean, whatever.
Look, I thought it was a cheap shot.
I thought it was a cheap shot. What a fucking dickhead, dude! Like, whatever. Regardless, but yeah, I mean, he's always like, why don't you write? Why don't you guys cover us? Why? It's because you're a dick. Put somebody else as the face of your organization, and I guarantee people are gonna start covering your shit. You, sir, suck. That's why.
Hardcore.
All right. Yeah. I know. Like, well, maybe it's me because it's fucking Steven. I like Steven.
I know.
I like Steven, and it was all I could do to not fucking tweet something back. And I was like, oh, then he's just going to start shitting on us again. I don't care. It's my podcast. I'll talk shit about your fucking ass. Whatever.
Yes,
fuck
sir.
Him.
And he's not even drinking.
I'm not even drinking.
And he's not
I'm
even
sorry,
drinking. It's a week off.
That's
doing the Bush Light?
No. I'm better now. I just need a voice.
Got
I,
that
I,
off your chest.
I did because no, I literally I drafted, delete, and I was like, stop, don't do
Walk
it. And
away.
Then now that we started talking about Steven, it came right back to the surface.
Bump. So. Hopefully lands on speed. If anybody's got some job leads out there, look, I'm gonna tell you right now, the dude will put in the work, man. He'll do his work.
100%.
Right.
He has his principles. He's not gonna fucking cheapen shit just to get a whatever. As much as people want to say, oh well, when you bring up bad stories, aren't those hit pieces? He's legit just saying the facts of shit that's going on. He's talking about subjects that are often not easy to talk about, you know, for the person that's involved in it and people that want to read it. It's not all glorified whatever. And you have the people that have come out and say, oh, you know, the last bastion of non-access-based PR MMA journalists. And so they're taking their shots at everybody else or whatever. Steven is a good guy, and you know, regardless of the arguments and stuff that we've had in the past, I respect the guy immensely. I respect his work ethic, and I respect it, you know, his principles when it comes to doing his job. You know,
Steven Rocco is the type of guy that if you're staying at an Airbnb and they don't have a proper first aid kit, he's gonna let you know about it.
he used to give reviews. Didn't he give reviews and shit like that?
He was, yeah, because it was in
what
Scotland,
if somebody falls and
Sandu,
hurts themselves?
Shamakar Sandu was here last week. Fell, had an accident, like slipped in a tub or whatever, like hit his head and was like bleeding. Was that alcohol related or was it just
could have been.
just slippery.
I remember we were sitting in the living room and we were all working and Sandy said he was going to take a shower and we just heard. And we all
that
just,
would be loud. He's a big dude.
We all just looked around and just put our heads down into that. And Stephen was like, "I'm gonna go check this out." And he goes, "Oh, we need help here. Sandy's bleeding from the head and shit."
Yeah, and he was kind of dazed, right?
That's the kind of guy he is.
But then
he'll get up and go check the noise in the other room.
We didn't let him bleed.
We just kept working. I was like, "But my beer's still cold."
The funny thing is, Jamo, right, a guy that sits cage side and watches people bleed all the time, was like, "Oh, I can't stare at that blood."
That much blood?
Yeah. It was
too bad there wasn't a proper
non-sporting context or something, like as it affects me differently or whatever.
That was fucking
funny. Oh, God.
Was that the event where we plugged an MMA fan to close a window? Like we just
yeah, because you had a random guy that showed up that was like hanging out. And
we
then,
didn't have
then you guys allowed to let him sleep there.
Yeah. Well, the window wouldn't close, and he's like, "Can I stay here?" We're like, "Yes, as long as you sleep in front of the window."
That's epic.
Shout out to Brett Awesome.
Brett Awesome. He was a lifesaver that night. But yeah, Steve, I would have never thought that like an Airbnb has to have a first aid kit. Like I'm just like, what? And he was like, yes, it according to regulation 412.786, as you'll see here, it has to have a first aid kit.
Let me pull up the bylaws.
This was not a sufficient first aid kit. I think he like I was like, don't file a complaint.
I thought I remember him filing a complaint or something. Oh. But that's Steven. Steven's to the T. But yeah, you'll get a good dude from that. But yeah, so yeah.
Just don't stay in an
Airbnb.
Well, I
apologize for sounding like an asshole. I feel bad now that I was ranting. I was ranting. It's a very touchy.
Don't feel bad.
Anybody that's like a former coworker,
that's
a friend.
As honest as you've ever been, right there. You
know, like
I mean?
That was some bullshit. So whatever.
I'm glad you got it off your chest.
I do feel much better.
I think you're speaking for a lot of people, to be honest.
I hope I was speaking for a lot of people. And I hope I was speaking for every person that knows Steven. Because I guarantee I was not the only person that thought of drafting something back
to him. I'm sure there were some things that were deleted and better left unsaid.
That's why I bought that fucking Twitter thing where you can undo posts. I didn't do it. But once you subscribe to Twitter,
right.
It gives you a minute. Like you draft it and it's like, do you want to undo that? And I'm like, Yeah, I've done that already. I've done undos. I'm like, it's worth the money already. I need the edit factor. I'm not going to bitch about the Twitter and why some things don't work, but that is one of the best.
And let me get going on Elon Musk here. And
Elon, let me talk to you, brother.
Too funny. All right, listen, we're going to wrap up. It's an off week, so let everybody enjoy the weekend. Going to take Mr. Abby Spahn to a Las Vegas Lights game.
Yeah.
Under new ownership, and so I'm anxious to see what they've done with the place. They're trying to, like, reinvent things. It's actually a U.S. Open Cup game, so the winner moves on to the round of 32, so we're hoping to see the lights.
Are you getting a kiddie pool so you can play football?
They don't have those anymore. They don't have the kiddie pools
why
anymore.
Why even go?
They got rid of the kiddie pools, which I'm a little sad. So they used to have the sideline kiddie pools, but they've got a whole bunch of, like,
seating area?
What do you mean by kiddie pool? That sounds suspect. What do you mean?
They used to have these things. It was amazing. So you would buy, like, general admission tickets. They were, like, $10 a piece. And then for $50, you could buy a seat at a pitch side pool. So basically, like, you were literally four feet from the sideline, and they'd have, like, a kiddie pool and, like, little stools. So you'd, like, sit on – you bring, like, your own chair or whatever, like a little folding chair, sit in the folding chair, put your feet in the kiddie pool, and you're, like, 4 feet from the sidelines. It was the best deal in sports.
That sounds
cool. But I think last season they won, like, 2 games the whole season, and so it was time for a change. But so supposedly they're, like, re-updating all, like, the seating and stuff. So now they have, like, some premium options and everything. But I just got, like, general admission to go see because I haven't seen what the new places are yet. So I don't want to spend any money yet on not knowing what it is. But we'll go check out what improvements they've made.
Hell yeah. Well, sad. I was hoping you were going to get the kiddie pool experience.
The kiddie pool, dude, I'm telling you, it was the
literally,
best seat.
You see pictures of where, like, he would have his seat, feet in his
I remember
feet
seeing something
the
when you
– Oh, and I'd just be harassing the linesman because, like, you're literally, like, 4 feet from the sideline. So the linesman's, like, you know, 2 feet in front of you. So it'd be hilarious. Like, there'd be, like, an off-the-ball foul or whatever. I'm like, I know you see that. I'm like, you could call it. I was like, you don't have to wait for the referee. You have that line.
That's offside.
Yeah.
What's offside?
Yeah.
Splash.
I just go on. It was hilarious. So, anyway, we're gonna go see Las Vegas Lights. Enjoy the weather.
It's
probably
a shame you're not coming,
beverage.
Kenny. You suck.
You can still come last second.
I'm good.
He's good. He doesn't want to come hang out. He knows that leads to many frosty beverages.
Yes, we got gym later on.
Gotta go pump some iron. Go get swole.
Get them gains.
Get them gains. All right, everybody, go get them gains this weekend. Go out there and get swole like Cole Coffee. Obviously, no and a half episode this week with no USC event, so we'll take a brief hiatus from there.
Yay.
But we appreciate everybody at patreon.com/members. You know what I got to do on Saturday? I got to go do you know how it's like that craze right now? Where, like, well, you guys probably don't know because you probably don't see the stupid stuff on social media, but like husbands and wives, like, paint each other or whatever. Like,
paint each other.
Yeah, I got to go do that. And I have zero artistic skill whatsoever.
Oh,
not
painting.
Yeah. There's like.
Oh, like a paint a picture.
Yeah. Like,
I thought you were talking body paint.
Yeah.
Did you think
no.
body paint?
No.
It was like a body paint thing. I was like, oh, this is going to be fun.
Let me tell you what little freaky stuff's happening over at Morgan's house. No, you go to a place and you drink and you give you an easel and paint. But I have literally zero art skill. Like, I've written my whole life. I can write decently. I can obviously, you know, I can talk all day long.
Man, I can't wait.
For whatever reason, the Lord gave me zero. Like, if I draw a stick figure, it looks stupid. Like, I can't make a stick figure look good. And so I told my wife this, and she's like, I know, I just think it'll be funny. And she shared some videos, and it is kind of funny, like, the reveal, because, like, you got these husbands that are just, like, horrible, and the wife just, like, falls out laughing. And it'll be fun. But it's going to frustrate the shit out of me because I hate it because I have no artistic skill whatsoever.
So
I'm
going to pay attention to Daniela's Instagram stories, right?
Probably, yeah. She'll put me on blast. But, I mean, she's like, you can get drunk. It's fine. I'm like, all right, okay.
I'm down.
Yeah,
let's go.
But, yeah, so that's what I'm doing on Saturday.
Nice.
So, yes, no more UFC events weekends off, please, because I get stuck doing stuff like that. I'd rather be cage side.
Which might get you in trouble.
Yeah, 100%. Anyway, no and a half, but thank you to everybody that supports us over at patreon.com/JamieRoadShow. Appreciate everybody that listens to us here. You know, if you can rate us, review us, all that stuff would help. But more than anything, we mean it. Thanks for listening.